I did see the note, and I forgot. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
And we do have one more announcement, so I'm going to give that to Debbie Haas.
Good morning. Nothing like being ignored by your pastor when you're standing up here. This piece of blue paper is very important if you know of anyone who is in third, fourth, or fifth grades, or are homeschooled in those grades. Our church, and through the generosity of some of our members, help sponsor the East Texas Children's Chorus. We are starting our sixth semester, can you believe it? And we had 22 last spring that just tore this place up with the Disney songs and the dancing last spring. Of course, in the fall, we tend to go toward the Christmas music and stuff like that. These blue sheets are on the table in the narthex. Please take one if you know of a third, fourth, or fifth grade student in the area, or if you have a student that age that would like to be in this choir. And as always, we are thankful for this church that supports this ministry.
And keep that ministry in your prayers as well. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful outreach to the community. Join me in the call to worship. Come, God. Come walk with your people, for you are our strength and glory.
We put our trust in you.
Come, God. Walk behind us, beside us, before us, for you alone are our shelter and direction.
We put our trust in you.
Come, God. We know you are near. The sound of your footsteps set us to dancing. Let us pray. God, it would be hard to think of where we'd be if you were not with us, your people, and we're so glad that you are always with us in the presence of your Holy Spirit. Because of that, we ask that as we lift up our voices in thanks and praise for our salvation, that you would continue to make yourself known, that being revealed in our midst, we would be awakened to faith and know that we can go forth with confidence and hope, trusting and believing in all that you have promised. So come, God, come be with us, your people. We ask this in the name of Christ, who with you, one God in the Holy Spirit, are with us now and forever. Amen. Let's sing our first hymn. It's My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. If you'll stand, we'll sing hymn 379, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Jesus, Lord. we got a responsive reading today. We're going to read responsively from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 22. Now, I'm going to read a verse, and you will read the next. We'll be encouraged throughout the reading to recall the many times and ways in which God delivered his people. This particular psalm raises the truth that God is indeed our refuge and our best source of help. As it mentions the troubles of the people, it also reminds us we're not meant to go it alone. But we should be glad that God is our most faithful source of salvation. So let's let this reading encourage us to trust God in all things, for God is always dependable. It's on page 559 in your Pew Bible, Psalm 107, 1 through 22. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble.
And gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to inhabit a town.
Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, his wonderful works to humankind.
For he satisfies the thirsty and the hungry, he fills with good things.
Some sat in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in misery and in bondage.
For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High.
Their hearts were bowed down with hard labor. They fell down.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress.
He brought them out of darkness and gloom, and broke their bonds asunder.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
For he shatters the doors of bronze, and he cuts in two the bars of iron.
Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endured affliction.
They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress.
He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from destruction.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with songs of joy.
We've heard about the steadfast love of the Lord telling us that our God is incredibly faithful, entirely reliable, and hopefully that awakens us not only to faith, but great hope, for our God saves. So with that in mind, let's respond by standing and praising the Lord by singing together the Gloria Patri. Be seated. At this time, I'm going to ask our guest, Michelle Lockhart from Hospice in the Pines, to come on up. She's going to tell you about their hospice ministry. They're a nonprofit here in town that care for a lot of people in need, and I wanted you to know about that. There is an insert in your bulletin, but also on our information table. There'll be information back there as well. And the reason I'm having her speak before the offering is it's to remind us that we can offer God not just our money and our resources, but we can offer ourselves, our time and our talents. And maybe she might inspire you as she talks about some of that. But Michelle, thank you for coming today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and good morning to you. I wanted to say on behalf of Hospice in the Pines and the Joe W. Elliott House, which we manage, that I am happy to be here, and that your own Mrs. Grum is one of ours. She is on our board, and she is a great supporter of Hospice in the Pines. As Dr. Wiggins referenced, we are a nonprofit. We are one of several hospices in the Lufkin area. However, we are the only nonprofit. And what that basically means is that we have been around since 1986, and we are the ones that can help if someone does not have other means. And you might say, well, there's insurance, there's private pay, there's Medicare and Medicaid. And yes, that is all true. However, if someone like myself, for example, should have a tragedy befall me where I needed hospice services, it would not, if I did lose my job, my livelihood, and my insurance, let's say, benefits, if you will, I would not have insurance, and I do not qualify yet for Medicare, and I'm not a candidate for Medicaid at this time. So, I would be taken care of. Hospice in the Pines provides $250,000 on average per year of care for those who might be unable to pay for whatever the reason. And so there is no bill ever sent to the homes of anyone that are patients or family members that are on our services. We are a program of comfort care. We're available to those patients and their families in the East Texas area. We serve a 70-mile radius of Lufkin, and that does include 12 counties that we are in. And we have nurses that live throughout the area. However, we do care in the home, care in the nursing facilities, and we also have an inpatient unit, if you're not aware, that is in CHI St. Luke's Memorial Health, and it is a 5-bed facility. And I come to you this morning as an employee, yes, of Hospice in the Pines, but I have also been the recipient of their care. And I say care because my mother was with Hospice in the Pines 6 years ago. She was in the inpatient unit, and that is where she passed away. And for 13 months after, the bereavement program there at Hospice in the Pines followed me, and I was her main caregiver and with her every day, and I lived with her. And that was invaluable to me. And the volunteers that they have, I'll speak to you about in a moment as well, but they were all there for me, and it made such a difference in my life. We want to let you know that we emphasize the treatment of the patient, but also to include the family, as I was saying. In addition to the patients, we have appropriate services that are provided with a particular care plan with the doctor and or one of our doctors to follow the patient, to be specific as to their needs. And as you know, hospice is for someone with a life-limiting illness. And each person is different. Each person is different. I could go over the diagnoses, but I have some information in back that if you want to pick up a form, and it would be for an assessment if you ever thought that you or someone that you love or care about would need services. We have medical directors, several doctors on staff that are trained and certified for hospice care. We have our nurses, of course, that are liaisons between the doctors and the patients. We have our patient care aides who are invaluable with the patients. They see them at least three times a week, the care aides do. We have social workers that provide for spiritual guidance, in with the chaplains and volunteers. And we also have dietitians and therapists. In the brochures at back, it talks about several of our programs. And I just want to mention that we have a music therapy program. We have an art therapy program. And one of our newest programs is We Honor Veterans. And sometimes this is some of the only honoring, if you will, that these veterans have ever received. And it has been received very well. They're provided with a flag at their time of death that covers their body and later their caskets, if so. So the $250,000 worth of charity care, we rely a lot on donations. And so I have some envelopes in the back as well. You can do them at any time in honor of a friend or loved one or in memory of someone that is close to you or in your family that passes. So I just wanted to make you aware of a few things. And also I have invitations in the back. Speaking of our art therapy, we have a grief camp for children each summer. And it's been several years now that they've had this. And SFA right now has the works from this year's camp being highlighted on exhibit. And the reception will be Saturday, September 21st at 3 p.m. over at SFA. And it's going to be in the Cole Arts Center at the Old Opera House. So I have some of these in back as well if you're interested in attending that. I plan to attend myself because some of their works were just awesome, and the feelings that they brought out was wonderful. But I thank you so much at this time for letting me come. And there's also information on the Joe Elliott House. For time's sake, I won't go into it, but it is a hidden jewel, 30 units for medical lodging here on Gene Samford Drive. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wiggins. Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. And keep them in your prayers as they care for many in our community. Well, all this in mind, let us offer what we have to the Lord so that we can continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
offer these gifts to you, which are meager compared to the gifts you bless us with every day. Let them be used for your purposes through this church. Lord, please bless this church and all of its purposes. And Holy Father, we thank you for loving us even when we don't really deserve it. We want to think that we do. We want to think we have all the answers, but then sometimes we're surprised to realize we do not. We thank you for being the good shepherd, the one who leaves all else behind and comes searching for that one lost lamb, alone, afraid, sickly, weak, distraught. You find the lost lamb, you carry it in your arms, you hoist it on your shoulders, you carry it back to the warmth and the safety of the rest of the flock. Let us rejoice if we ever discover that each of us are that one lost lamb. You, our good shepherd, love, care, nourish, and protect every day of our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you're one of our young people, if you want to come forward, feel free to come forward at this time, and I can talk to you a little bit today about music. Oh, faithful Hallie, thank you for coming up here. I'm going to read to you first just from the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus was talking to his disciples, and this is what he said. He says, "Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to build it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'The fellow began to build, is not able to finish.'" Jesus was saying he wants us to carry our cross and to count the cost. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but why don't we talk about music? And that might help. Do you like music? I do too. Music is just one of my favorite things to listen to, and I listen to all kinds. When we came in today, June was playing on the organ, and she was playing beautiful music. But June, could you play something on the piano? "For the Bible tells me so." Know that one? Loves me, the Bible tells me so. I didn't do a solo. I was trying to save y'all from that. You should play well. I don't know about you, but have you ever wanted to play a musical instrument? I did. I once, for a little while, learned to play the trumpet, and learning to play music can be really, really fun. And I know some people that want to learn how to play the piano. But you know what they may not realize? If you're going to learn to play the piano, you need a piano. I Googled it, and you know how they're expensive. I found one on the internet that was a used one for $700. $700 is a lot of money. So if they want to learn how to play the piano, they'll need to buy a piano. And then if they get the piano, they're going to need a music teacher. And most music teachers that I know of usually charge a reasonable fee, but you have to pay for your lessons. And if you want to be really good to where someday you can play like June, then you're going to need a lot of lessons. And so that can add up to a lot of money. Well, also, if you wanted to learn to play the piano, now you need the piano. Not only do you need a piano teacher to give you piano lessons, a good teacher is going to want you to practice every day for about an hour. Wouldn't that be about right, June? She says that's about right. So, you know, I was thinking, gosh, Brian, if I wanted to learn the piano, that'd be so much fun. But I'd get home from school and my friends would be out playing, but you know what? I wouldn't be able to go out and play with them because I'd have to practice my hour each day on the piano. It's not only to cost money, it's going to cost some time. I'm not so sure if I'm too excited about learning how to play the piano just yet. Oh, and I'll need sheet music, so I'm going to have to go to the store and buy sheet music too. But you know, the whole reason I'm telling you about this is when we set out to do something, we don't always realize it could be costly. It may require a lot from us. I think some kids want to learn how to play the piano, but when it comes to spending an hour a day practicing, they're like, gosh, this is harder than I thought. So let me think back to what Jesus was saying when he said, if anyone does not carry his cross, Jesus carried a cross up a hill. And he let people nail him to the cross where he died as a sacrifice for our sins so that we could be forgiven. So that cross he carried was very costly. It cost him his life. He says, anyone does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And then he talks about a guy who builds the tower and doesn't realize how much it's going to cost him to build the tower. What he's trying to say is, I want you to follow me. But you know, there may be times where following Jesus isn't always easy. Sometimes it may cost us time. Might even cost us some resource so that we can help continue his ministry. Not everybody realizes that. We come to church and we hear beautiful music, but then when somebody says, oh, I need you to teach Vacation Bible School, it's like, I don't know if I have time. And we realize then, gosh, being a disciple isn't always easy. Sometimes it's hard. But here's the good news in all this. Even if it's hard, when we do what Jesus did, we find the power of God at work in our lives. We see the power of God at work in others when we do what Jesus did. We find blessing. So even though it might be hard, we end up discovering God's presence and God's power brings us the privilege of enjoying God's blessing. So it's good when we follow the Lord. It always takes us and leads us into ways we can encounter the loving, wonderful presence of God. But sometimes it may take a little work, but it's always worth it. I hope for you and for these people out here, you'll continue to follow Jesus Christ in times when it's easy and times when a lot may be asked of you. Let's pray and see if God can help us with that. God, we thank you for the ministry you have to us. We thank you how you will give anything and do anything to continue making us your people so that we can reflect your glory in the world today so that others might come to know Jesus Christ. I pray for myself. I pray for Hallie. I pray for the congregation that we would follow Jesus into whatever place it is he leads. Because we know that you will lead us in paths of righteousness. So empower us to live by strong faith and fun energy as we follow you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, pretty dress. Y'all give her a round of applause for coming up here. For being my faithful youth this morning. Let's sing our next hymn. Our next hymn is going to be We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. It's hymn 203. Let's stand and sing that together. Oh, is the number wrong? 399, right? Yeah. Yes.
We walk by faith. Thank you.
Now, the Old Testament lessons out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. It's on page 203 if you want to follow along in your pew Bible. Here Paul talks about how he, out of love and hard work, was willing to share the gospel. This passage is not only one of dedication to proclaim God's grace, but it is a reminder that our lives preach a sermon. Like the Apostle Paul, can we really say that people better know Christ because they know us, because they have witnessed the way we live? Do our lives point to our Lord and Savior? Let us be attentive to the reading and hearing of God's Word. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We work night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ.
If you want to follow along, I'll be in Joshua chapter 3 this morning, and the context that we step into is one in which the people have come to the edge of the wilderness, and they are about to enter the land of God's promise. The only problem is there's a real challenge to getting there. There's a river, big river that they got to cross, and to receive God's promise, God's going to need to make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. And we're going to find out if the people can trust God with this. So I'm going to read Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, if you would like to follow along. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. While those flowing toward the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off, the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One way of looking at faith is knowing that faith is trusting God's promises. And with this passage before us, it lets us know that we need to walk in the pages of Scripture if we're going to know what God has promised. But trusting God's promises means that we will not only walk through Scriptures, learning, hearing, and coming to believe in what God has promised, it is also walking forth into the world according to those very promises we just read or heard and came to believe. It's where the rubber meets the road. You know, there's a weekend ministry. It's still popular to this very day. It's called Walk to Emmaus. And it's designed to challenge the participants who come for a weekend retreat to consider where they walk and how they walk. For hopefully, as we read in Joshua this morning, we will take those steps that lead us further into the experience of everything God has promised our lives. You see, God had promised Joshua and the people to take them out of the wilderness and into a land of blessing, where they could live freely as God's people. Verse 8, You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And verse 13 tells us, Joshua said to the Israelites, when the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap. Rather than rush forward like we do in today's super fast world, Joshua stops the people. He stops and he speaks to them because, you see, he wants the people to hear and to understand God's promise before they set forth in trust and obedience to carry it out. I think that maybe, this is my take, maybe having the past example of Moses crossing the parted waters of the Red Sea was an very inspiring example of faith for which Joshua could follow. I mean, not only did the Red Sea part, but it gave the people a way to get to the other side where they were saved. So by parting the waters, the people were led into salvation. Thank goodness Joshua had a living example of faith previously in his life. Maybe he knew, okay, God's going to part the waters. Well, you know what? I've got a good example of that. I'm going. Thank goodness he had this previous witness of Moses who knew that God could make a way when there didn't seem to be one at all. Also, Joshua might have remembered that in chapter 1, as we talk about where we put our feet and how we walk, in chapter 1 of Joshua, God makes this promise. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail or forsake you. Knowing that the one making that promise wasn't just anybody or some politician on a campaign trail, Joshua knew that the person or the one making the promise was none other than God. And since it was God and not just anyone, Joshua didn't mind going out with the priests and getting the soles of his feet wet in the Jordan River. But as we read this story, I hope you realize the challenges that come with stepping out in faith. The Jordan River was flowing at its height when God told them to cross. Now, in my mind, it would be safer to wait when the river's not flowing at its strongest and highest. It would be a much more calm and safe and sure endeavor, in my point of view, to wait until, hey, the water's not so deep and the currents aren't so strong, because, you know, God, it's not just me and a few priests that are getting to the other side. It's 1 million or 2 million plus people. We're talking about infants. We're talking about toddlers. We're talking about a bunch of people who need to get across. And so we're going to step into the water at the most dangerous time of the year, mind you, to go across, and you're going to hold them back in a heap. Okay. And so as not one or two, but maybe 1 or 2 million people pass by, you're going to keep holding those strong currents and that high water, right? Because we're going to have to wait for all those people. It's going to take, you're going to hold that water up that's right behind our backs, right? Okay. All right. Well, I like to play it safe. I don't know if I would have been as bold and as sure as Joshua was when he called the people and said, I want you to know what God just promised. Let's go do it. You know, many people with the scientific minds we have today would say, "Show me the parted waters, God, and then I will step out." But God says, "Believe that I will part them by taking steps that trust don't obey what I just promised, and I will show you." What I mean is the scientific world says, "Show me and I'll believe." But the God of faith says, most often, "Believe and I'll show you." And it lets us know that we are required to live a life from a perspective of faith. It is when we look with the eyesight of heaven that we begin to see and recognize the things of God. We learn from Joshua that if we first get our feet wet by walking in God's promises, that is when we see God make a way that leads to the fulfillment of what was just promised, even if the way ahead isn't so comfortable. And that's why I had Ron read from 1 Thessalonians. I don't know if you caught it when he read those verses, but using the words of the Apostle Paul, he said, "Hey, I loved you people like a father does his children." But the very first verses that Ron said is, "But I did it in labor and toil." I love loving people when it's easy and when they're lovable. But what about when they're not so lovable, or it's going to require a lot on my part to help them to love them and to communicate the gospel of grace to them? That's when there might be a little thinning of the herd for some. In Psalm 23, we hear with that soothing smile in our hearts that our shepherd will lead us to green pastures and to quiet waters that restore our soul, and it just puts us at peace. But what I love is the honesty of God very quickly in that same psalm says, "And you will also maybe find yourself in the darkest valley possible, and if not there, surrounded on all sides by your enemies. But what you need to trust and what you need to believe is that just as I can lead you to green pastures and quiet waters that restore your soul, I can bless you if you're surrounded by enemies on all sides, and I can lead you through the darkest valley because I am the one who is able." And you see, later on we learn in Jesus Christ, God's been in all those places and all those moments and made the way through. So he's qualified. So is it any wonder then Psalm 23 says, well, certainly whether I'm in a green pasture or a dark valley, God's goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because you see, I can trust him in any and every situation. Psalm 23 lets us know walking in faith is not always comfortable, nor is it always convenient. And we do love our comfort. I don't know if you've ever read the classic Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress. I'm going to give that to my grandchildren when they get old enough to really understand the characters and the story behind it. But you have a character in this classic named Christian. Christian's on a journey, and he finds the path that he is on is getting difficult, and so he climbs over a fence to walk in a meadow. But as he walks in the meadow, he realizes that the ground is becoming very soggy, and eventually it is covered with poisonous vines. The sky becomes black, and so Christian huddles under an oak tree all night in the pouring rain. And the next morning, a giant of all things named Despair, captures him, beats him, imprisons him in the dungeon of Doubting Castle. And Christian's mood was described in the novel as dungeon dark. giant despair beat him mercilessly, and Christian grew weaker day by day. And there in his cell, he finds a rope, a knife, a bottle, tools that he could use for suicide. And for a moment, he's tempted to end his life. But one morning after prayer, he awakens with insight and he announces, "What a fool am I, thus to lie in a stinking dungeon when I may as well walk at liberty. I have a key in my bosom called promise that will, I am sure, open any door in Doubting Castle." And the key in his bosom called promise did just that. Using the key of God's promises is what enabled Christian to escape, never again to fall into the clutches of giant despair or Doubting Castle. And I think that's a wonderful example because, like Christian, we need to walk in God's promises and step out in faith, as it is the key to setting us free to the life of God's own making. Finally, I just want to say the way that we do walk through this life, as Ron said, will tell a story. The way you walk through this world will preach some kind of sermon. The question, as you consider Joshua stepping out in faith to cross a river during a time of its high crest, gets us to ask, does the day-to-day steps we take point to the fact that our life relies fully and solely on God's promises? The way you live will preach a sermon of some kind. And the question that remains is, will people know Jesus Christ better because they have gotten to know you? The answer depends on how you walk. May we walk by faith, trusting, dare say, not even ourselves, but to Jesus Christ, who is not against us, but so for us, that he gave his all so we could live. Amen. Let's respond to the presence of God, which is here, in calling us to walk by faith. Let's respond as we stand and declare what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and you'll find those there in your bulletin. But let's stand and announce what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let's take God our, not only our prayers, but ourselves. God, we are glad that your word never fails, and therefore your promises are always sure. Help us today to not lean on our own understanding, but to trust all that you have promised. Because as you lead us on this journey of faith, you sometimes take us to places of trial or trouble or places of difficulty or hardship where commitment is anything but easy. But help us to trust that there too we can find your presence and your power at work so that we can be set free to live as your people. Thank you for how totally dedicated you have been to us, to forgive our sins, and through our baptism raise us up to new life so that we can walk with Jesus Christ forever. For that free and wonderful gift, we say thank you. And for those times where our faith has faltered, we just ask that you would help and encourage our unbelief, that we would know that we can come to you in prayer for that as well, that by being with us in the presence of your Holy Spirit, you will help us to continue growing as your people. And as we think about the ministry that you call us to live out daily, we do lift up those that need an extra portion of your grace, that are at home weak or in the hospital ill, that are recovering from surgeries and broken bones, fighting cancer, and even more. We ask that when we lift them up to you, you would just be gracious to respond and quick to heal. And that you would not only keep our hope, but their hope in you, strong and confident. Continue the ministry of this church that we might not come to exist for ourselves, but for others, so that the ministry of Jesus Christ continues in our world today. Receive us and continue to equip us and gift us with your Holy Spirit as we come praying to you in faith, the way in which Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. You'll find the words there in the bulletin. But let's go out to live by faith as we sing The Lord in Whom We Love. Let's stand and sing that together. As you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. And may Jesus Christ be your peace now and always. Amen.